We've been inviting newsmakers to the table to talk one-on-one with our listeners. Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell joined us back in February to tackle some of the top-of-mind issues, including the enforcement or lack of enforcement of zoning laws. Caldwell spoke to the complexity of transit vacation units, or TVUs, and legal B&Bs, and his efforts to manage runaway vacation rentals here in Honolulu.
This is an issue that every county struggles with and the state struggles with. And so, you know, a while ago, we put together a working group, all kinds of folks from Airbnb folks to traditional hotel folks, everyone in between. And we asked for their input to come up with a recommended way to regulate this industry. And through their hard work, last year, at the end of the year, I introduced a bill. It's Bill 89 that's comprehensive in terms of trying to address this issue from all sides. And I'm just making it clear, as mayor, I'm not trying to shut down vacation rentals, eliminate them altogether. But how do we regulate it? How do we find the balance? How do we address the impacts it's having in our neighborhoods around our island? You know, if there's 15 to 20,000 illegal vacation rentals, and we have 30,000 or so hotel rooms in Waikiki, and we have Lyft like never before, the number of flights come in here. If we eliminated this industry altogether, Lyft would drop dramatically. It'd probably have an impact on the overall health of our economy, being tourism our number one industry. So having said that, how do we find this balance? And what this bill does is, and this is very rough numbers, it would probably allow approximately 4,000 to 5,000 vacation rentals, whether it be single family homes in certain very limited areas or B&Bs around the island. 4,000 from 15 to 20,000 is a huge drop, but it's a starting point. Now, the council may disagree and want a higher number. I don't want to kill our tourism industry. I want to find balance. And I think the magic of this bill, it does set limits of where you can have these things. Single-family homes that are vacation rentals, you cannot have in any residential neighborhood anywhere on this island should this bill pass. So along the North Shore, along Kailua, along the Kohala area, West Side, if they're a home, a single-family home, you would not be able to operate it as a vacation rental. Limited numbers in resort areas, Ko'olina, those kind of places, Turtle Bay, you would be permitted. And then on B&Bs, a number of them, you could still have them. They're hosted, so the impact is less. That means a local family is living in the home where you'd maybe be renting a room or another person renting a room, up to two rooms max. And we've reduced that number too. When I put in the bill initially before the Planning Commission, it would allow it as many as you want. And we heard from the community. I had to go back to the Planning Commission and say, I'm open to compromise. Let's reduce the number of B&Bs. Let's get the bill to the council so they can start to get the hearing. So it really regulates and allows them only in certain areas. But here's the other magic of the bill, enforcement. You know, we could hire 1,000 inspectors and they'd be out there inspecting every day, because even when you catch someone one time, doesn't mean they're going to stop. Because if you're making 10 to 20,000 a month on your home, there's a lot of incentive to do it again, get caught again, do it again, get caught again. And you can't, it's hard to catch people. You got to catch them in the act. You have to have them admit that, yes, I'm renting this place. So there's a lot of fact-driven scenarios. And we do catch people. A lot of times they'll take us to court and the judge splits the baby in half and they come back and do it again. So the enforcement is you need to get a registration number. And with that registration number, you must put it on all your advertisements. As you know, these are all hosted sites. If it doesn't have the number, it's a prima facie case that you're operating an illegal vacation rental and you'll be fined $25,000 a first-time infraction, $50,000 a second time, $100,000 a third time. We put a lien on your property, we execute on the lien, and you lose your home. It is draconian, it is very harsh, but we believe that it'll be easy to catch them because they have to advertise on social media sites. We'll probably work with a third party to find these places that are illegal, pinpoint who's doing it, and we find the homeowner, and then we take their home. We think it'll bring discipline. People will get the registration number and comply with the law.
And, you know, critics say enforcement is key because we haven't been able to enforce over the last 30 years, and that's why we're in this situation today.
Correct.
And we've seen a lot of the sentiment about tourism kind of go south because of all the impacts on our trails and our parks and our neighborhoods.
Yes.
And so folks are saying, well, then why not change the laws to make sure that we can do a better job at enforcing?
Right. So we want to know, are you doing it? You got to get a registration number. You give us all the information. We get that information, and now we know who's legal. Anyone else is illegal. If you're on a hosted site with Airbnb or BRBO or any of those places and you don't have your registration number, we're coming after you. Easy to get you. You're going to be fined. You're going to be punished. We think it'll stop the bad actors. It's kind of like catching someone speeding. You got to be there when they're speeding. Calling and saying, I saw someone speeding down the highway, and the police going, they're not there anymore, they're not speeding, you can't do anything about it.
You know, Mayor, I know I went to an open house at a home in Palolo, and I was there with another family, just happened to walk in at the same time, and I heard the realtor say, oh, you know, this place is already set up. You can just build a wall here, and then you can have two units, and you can do whatever you want. You can make it into an Airbnb or a rental. And this was the realtor talking, yeah, telling prospective customers, you know. And so it's just really disheartening, yeah, to hear that.
So to address that, I mean, along with this omnibus bill, we put two other bills in with this bill. One is requiring that when you sell a home, you have to disclose that this is not a vacation rental is not permitted here. Just like you have to do a lead paint disclosure and all these different disclosures, it's another way to inform, making the realtor comply with the law and tell the purchaser you cannot do a vacation rental. The other one is a bill to make it a criminal offense if you lied to an inspector. You know, when you knock on a door and they say, no, we're not doing a vacation rental. And then it's, how do you prove that they're not? If they lie and we prove that they are doing one, then they are criminally on the line, and we're hoping that will create some fear and that people will not lie. That's part of this package of bills.
Okay, well, we have a couple of calls, yeah, on the line. Caller from Kaimuki, Carol, you have a question for Honolulu's mayor?
Yeah, I just have a quick statement. It's just a sense of, in relation to the Department of Planning and Permitting, we have a monster house situation, of course, we all know, in Kaimuki and all these other areas. But it would be great to have the head of the Department of Planning and Permitting have a real sit-down with folks, and then also to have each of the inspectors that we have on staff sort of assessed for what they've been doing, basically, or for lack of a better word, over the last couple years. We've found that a lack of sympathy and a general sense of apathy with neighborhood complaints and even just updates that have been given to our DPP inspectors. They need definitely more people on force, and they basically, I think, would also do well to have an assessment from up above to see how it's all filtering down to really what's happening in our neighborhood.
That's a good point, Mayor.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I'm not opposed to having a sit down with representatives from different communities, however that is determined. I can assure you that the director of Department of Planning and Permitting is intimately familiar because she's had to go before the council numerous times, and you know she's been beat up pretty badly for what's occurred. Now, there is a moratorium. There should not be any more large-scale homes, detached homes being built. There were permits issued because part of the problem, the way our law was written, it allowed for this. I mean, inspectors go out, but they inspect for the law in place. And unfortunately, the way the law was written, it was so broad that it allowed these larger homes to be built, which are really negatively impacting our communities. I agree with you, Hunter, and I'd be totally upset if one was built next to me. We have stopped it. You can't come down and get a permit today. Now, if someone tries to build one without the permit, that's a whole nother issue. And the council has recently really increased the fines for doing that kind of thing, including making the person tear down what they built. But there are a number that are going through the process that got their permit previously that may be some of the things you're dealing with. In the future, I think this moratorium should stay in place. There should be no large homes allowed on smaller lots. And again, under the bill we just submitted to the Planning Commission, to take that energy that's there and do it in apartment-zoned areas where these kind of projects won't have the negative impact you're experiencing. I think you said in Kaimuki, Carol. But I'll take this back to DPP, and maybe there's a way to reach out. If there's an organization or something of communities that are dealing with this to come in and talk, we'd be more than happy to listen.
You've been hearing from Mayor Kirk Caldwell, and that was an excerpt from a call-in show originally aired in February. Our listeners were given the opportunity to talk directly with local newsmakers from across the state. Just one example of some of the new things we're trying here on The Conversation.